This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we have health news, a devotional thought, and we're making spring roll bowls.
Stay with us, friends.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope.
It is National Homemade Bread Day today. Have you ever made homemade bread?
I know someone who has.
I love making homemade bread.
You do.
And if you have ever made it, you know nothing compares to the goodness of smelling and tasting homemade bread fresh from the oven.
100%, I agree. You know, bread has been an important part of the human diet since long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
As it is said, bread is the staff of life.
Mm-hmm. You know, bread was such a key item that Jesus even likened himself to being the bread of life in John chapter 6. And as we take in his word and become more like him, we are essentially eating the bread of life, the bread that leads to eternal life.
Great thoughts. Well, it's now time to take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1839, Italian composer Giuseppe Verdi's debut opera, Oberto Conte di San Bonifacio, premiered in Milan at La Scala, Italy's foremost theater. The opera received a positive reception despite personal and professional challenges. Verdi's 1842 opera, Nabucco, catapulted him to overnight stardom. His illustrious career continued with the creation of timeless operas. Verdi was greatly honored in his lifetime and is credited with transforming Italian opera into true musical drama.
Verdi's dedication to his art and his willingness to continue composing operas, even in the face of personal and professional setbacks, resonates with the Christian principle of perseverance. Just as Verdi persisted in the face of adversity, Christians are encouraged to endure hardships and remain faithful to their calling, trusting that God's plan unfolds in its own time. You know, Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." God calls us to be patient and trust in his perfect timing as he works out everything for our good. So friends, will you trust in God's perfect timing today?
Amen. I sure want to trust his timing. Well, this morning on Wake Up with Hope, we can't forget to share an important and exclusive health news segment with you now. It's coming up. Stay with us.
In the headlines today, a diet for irritable bowel syndrome, alcohol shrinks the brain, and more muscle, less disease. Various diets are promoted for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, so researchers put three diets to the test. 99 people with IBS were divided into three groups. One group ate a traditional diet of regular, healthy meals with proper portion sizes, minimizing processed, fatty, gas-producing foods, drinks, and alcohol, and maintaining good hydration. The second group ate a diet low in fermentable carbs, such as wheat, some dairy products, and veggies like artichokes, asparagus, onions, and garlic. The third group were assigned a gluten-free diet. After 4 weeks on their diets, there was a significant reduction in symptoms for 58% of the gluten-free group, 55% of the low FODMAP group, and 42% of the traditional diet group. And while not as successful, the traditional diet eaters were more willing to stay on their assigned diet. As little as one alcoholic drink per day is linked to a reduction in overall brain volume, according to a large study involving 37,000 healthy middle-aged people. Participants completed questionnaires and medical history interviews along with brain imaging. Higher alcohol consumption, especially when intake was consistent, was associated with widespread reductions in almost all regional gray matter volumes, in global brain volume, and in white matter microstructure. As consumption increased from 1 unit to 2 units a day in 50-year-olds, brain loss was equivalent to 2 years of aging, and drinking up to 3 units a day was equivalent to 3.5 years of aging. 2 units is equivalent to a pint of beer or a glass of wine, and in many countries, women are advised not to exceed that amount each day, and men not more than twice that amount, both of which were associated in this study with reduced brain volumes. According to a new study, regular muscle strengthening activity may lower the risk of cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even death. By combining the results of 16 studies, researchers were able to assess the relationship between these diseases and muscle strengthening activities, which included resistance, strength, and weight training, as well as calisthenics. Using a baseline of little to no muscle strengthening activity, researchers grouped participants into activity levels, and they learned that the most benefit could be gained by spending 30 to 60 minutes per week doing muscle strengthening activities. So while it's easy to remember to do daily aerobic exercise, it's easy to forget to strengthen your arms, legs, butt, and core. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
We're going to the kitchen now to cook up some spring roll bowls.
And for this recipe today, we're going to make spring roll in a bowl. Unlike spring rolls, the rice paper can kind of get dried out the next day. So this is a quick, simple one to do for later on the week as well. So to start this one, we're going to make our peanut sauce. That is the key ingredient for this one. It requires some peanut butter. I like to use crunchy because then you get the little pieces of peanuts in there with it. Adds just a little bit of texture to it. We have some Bragg's liquid aminos, kind of like soy sauce. And then a little bit of cane sugar and sesame oil is a great Asian ingredient. It has that definite distinct Asian flavor. And then to bring some more flavor, we got fresh lime. Usually about half of the lime is what I like to add to this recipe. There we go. And then we'll mix that up a little bit. Okay, so our peanut sauce is all ready. Usually I like to go about this consistency. We might add just a little bit of water to it. I like it so it kind of runs sort of like a salad dressing, because sort of like what we're making is sort of like a salad. So that seems just about right to me. All right, to put this thing together, we've already cooked our rice vermicelli noodles. I usually just follow the instructions on the bag for this one, and then blanch them in some cool water to cool them down so they're easy to handle. And I usually toss them with a little bit of sesame oil too. It keeps them from sticking together so you don't have like a giant clump. I'll add just a little bit more. And then for a protein factor for this one, we're gonna add some of the oven-baked curry chicken tofu. Slice it nice like that. There we go. Purple cabbage. The more vegetables you can add, the better, and the more color you can add. So we've got some carrots as well. Mung bean sprouts. And then fresh mint. It only takes a little bit of mint. Mint is a pretty strong flavor, so not too much to overpower it. And then cilantro, that is definitely, the more the better on that one. Definitely the Vietnamese flavor. Sprinkle that one all over, and we're ready for our peanut sauce dressing. This one is one of my wife's favorite recipes that I make. So whenever we have date nights, this is the one that always gets made. And I like it because all the ingredients can be made in one day and then kept until the next day for later on.
Have you tried any of our recipes? Send us a message on our Facebook page and let us know how it turned out for you. Coming up after a short break, we will have another inspiring episode from The Incredible Journey. And later, Mark Finley joins us to share today's devotional thought.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's a lovely fall morning on Wake Up with Hope. We're enjoying spending this time with you.
What do you do when life throws lemons at you? How do you cope? Let's find out on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
When the coronavirus pandemic began to escalate across the globe in early March, thousands of people rushed blindly to their local supermarkets. In a frenzy that's rarely been witnessed, they began clearing the shelves of dozens of essential items. While the situation seemed amusing to some, it highlighted a serious social pandemic that lay beneath the rapidly spreading viral one. People were overwhelmed with fear. So, has fear really become the new norm? Well, there are definitely a handful of emotions that have slowly become the new norm. Isolation, loneliness, uncertainty, and yes, added into that mix is fear. More often than not, we fear what we don't know and can't understand. When Henry Tudor invaded England and faced off against Richard III in the Battle of Bosworth Field in 1485, he brought an army of mercenaries with him. Not long after, he was crowned Henry VII, and then the dreaded sweating sickness began. It was such a deadly virus that the saying known throughout England was that a man could be merry at breakfast and dead by lunch. No one understood it, much less had a cure for it, and thousands of Englishmen died. But the fear it created was palpable. Anyone who so much as coughed, sneezed, or seemed to be sweating a little more than usual was immediately ostracized. A chambermaid working in the royal court could be immediately dismissed if she was even slightly ill. It was a terrifying time, much like the times we are living in are terrifying and fraught with so much insecurity. So, what is the answer? Should we give in to fear? Jump back in terror when someone coughs a meter from us? Well, there's a fine line between being sensible and being panic-stricken. During a time like this, it's essential that we are sensible and that we take the necessary precautions to mitigate the risk of infection for ourselves and our families. But sensibility does not need to be accompanied by a big slice of panic. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 91 and verses 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." God is a refuge and fortress to all those who put their trust in Him. He's able to keep us safe even in the midst of the worst storms. We can turn to Him for wisdom, comfort, and guidance, but above all, we can turn to Him for peace. Fear does not need to be our new norm. Instead, peace and certainty can be our new norm in Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And again in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When we turn on the news, it can seem like the world is descending into chaos with every passing minute. But this does not have to be our personal experience. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." We have the opportunity to trust in Jesus, to make him our refuge and our protection, and to accept his peace.
It's time for a break, but after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
Proverbs shoots an arrow from the Lord's quiver directly into the target of our hearts. When you read Proverbs, you are moved by its straightforward teaching and its wise counsel. Here in Proverbs 20, verse 23, Solomon gives us an appeal to honesty. He says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good." What's that talking about? Well, let's go back to the Middle East again. Let's suppose that I'm going to buy a very precious spice, but the seller of that spice will need to weigh it out. So you have these balance scales. He puts weights on one side. Let's suppose he puts 12 ounces on this side. Then he's supposed to put 12 ounces of spice on this side, so they're even. But what if the weights on this side are not 12 ounces, but what if they're 10 ounces? But he tells me they're 12. So he saves on the precious spice 2 ounces each time to make a profit. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good. Proverbs appeals for honesty and integrity in all that we do. The story of Captain Joseph Bates is the story of a man that had amazing honesty, amazing integrity. God longs for us to live with integrity, longs for us to live with honesty. Joseph Bates had sold, on one occasion, quite a bit of cargo down in the Caribbean when he was traveling in the Caribbean. And he sold this cargo to a tribal chief there. Bates left in the boat to travel back home, and he recognized that the tribal chief had overpaid him. Bates had spent many, many years in the sea as a sea captain. So what was he to do? He recognizes that he's been overpaid. He's sailing away. This is in the 19th century. And he decides to turn the boat back, to go back to pay this man's fee back to him. And the chief is just amazed. This is why Joseph Bates established so many positive relationships every place he went. Because Joseph Bates, one of the early Seventh-day Adventist leaders, was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man that paid debts on his ships. He paid his crew a just wage. On one occasion, Joseph Bates had a dream, and he dreamed that God wanted him to go to Battle Creek, Michigan. John F. Loughborough, another Adventist pioneer, tells the account. He says that Joseph Bates has this strong impression from a dream. It prompts him to change his travel plans and to go to Battle Creek in 1852. Now, there were no known Adventists that were going to live there. So Joseph Bates comes to inquire of the postmaster. As he comes to the postmaster, he says to the postmaster, "Who is the most honest man in this town, the man that has most integrity?" The postmaster says to Joseph Bates, "Well, I can tell you the man. It's David Hewitt." And so Joseph Bates goes to the home of David Hewitt early in the morning, knocks on the door. "Mr. Hewitt, yes, I understand that you are the most honest man in town." Hewitt says, "Well, some people might say that." And he said, "I have something I want to share with you. Can I come into your home and study the Bible?" So they study together. And they study on the Bible Sabbath. Bates had accepted the Sabbath. And the Hewitts accepted after one day of Bible study. So they study the prophecies of Daniel, the prophecies of Revelation. And Hewitt invites his neighbors to come in. And this small band of believers found at that place in Battle Creek began to meet in Hewitt's home. And it was there in 1853 that two more founders of the Adventist Church, James and Ellen White, along with Loughborough, meet with these believers in their first visit to Battle Creek. The arrival of these workers just thrilled, just absolutely thrilled these new early Adventists there. But what was it that caused Joseph Bates to go looking for David Hewitt? It was Bates' own honesty. It was Bates' own integrity. It was the fact that Joseph Bates was a man of character, and he wanted to find somebody else that was a person of character that he could witness to. This idea of honesty, this idea of integrity, this idea of character is found here in the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good." In other words, live a life of honesty. Live a life of integrity. Live a life in which your character is the most important thing in your life. You know, my father taught me this from a very, very young age. One day, Dad and I were walking home from church. By this time, I was about 17. I had become a Seventh-day Adventist. And as we were walking home from church that particular day, it was a fall day in New England where I lived, was born and brought up in the state of Connecticut. The leaves had fallen off the tree, so quite a few leaves on the sidewalk. And Dad kicked a few leaves, and he saw an envelope there. Now, we didn't have a lot of money in those days at all. And Dad saw that envelope. He picked it up, and as he looked at that envelope, there was maybe $150 or $160 in cash in the envelope. Dad looked, and he knew immediately what had happened. On Friday, in our town, in the mills, we had a mill town. On Friday in those towns, people got paid. And Dad knew somebody had gotten paid. No name on the envelope at all. No way of identifying it. And I'm looking at this money. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, $100, 110, 20, 30, $150. And I knew that Dad was working a couple jobs. I knew that we didn't have much money. And I thought, man, this is wonderful. And Dad looks at me and said, "You know, Mark, somebody lost this money. And I know that they're going to be really sad. We've got to find that person." So Dad goes down to the police station. He said, "Look, I found this envelope filled with money." And ours was a very close town, a small community. And he said, "I'm going to leave this envelope here." Dad left it there. And then we discovered that the person found that they had lost the money. They went to the police, and the police gave them back the money. But here's the end of that story. Years later, 30 years later, I'm the speaker of It Is Written Television. People see my name, Mark Finley, and they say, "Wait a minute. There was a Finley that the police said turned in this money. We didn't know where he lived. They wouldn't give us his address because it was confidential. I wonder if this Mark Finley has anything to do with this James Finley who turned in the money." And so we get a call at It Is Written Television. 30 years later, "Pastor Mark, we're watching you on television. And was it your father that turned in the money?" Indeed it was. And I think of Psalm 66, verse 2 and 3. "Sing out honor to the name of God." This couple had a deeper relationship with Jesus because they made that linkage of what Dad did those years before. honesty, integrity makes a major difference. Walk into your day today determined by the grace of God to live an integrity life, a life filled with integrity.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you right here. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning. We will have an inspiring message from our friends from Voice of Prophecy, music by College View Worship, a wonderful, healthy recipe from Gia and her clan, and so much more. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. Don't put a life of peace on hold any longer. Now, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise. Mm-hmm. And today's promise comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 12.
It says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you."
You know, friend, take heart when your Christian walk is filled with attacks and trials on every side. Many have gone before you and paved the way for your resilience and perseverance. So stay close to God and rejoice. Your reward is in heaven.
Amen. Well, we pray that you keep this amazing promise in your heart this weekend, and we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much because we have received blessings beyond our expectations. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are full. And as we leave this place and as we go our separate ways, as we go to work, some of us may go to school, some of us may be ending our day, we pray, Lord, that wherever we are, that we would just remember that you are a God who loves and cares for each one of us, and you have precious thoughts towards us. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.